We welcome you this morning, and while people are being seated, we'll just go through a few of the announcements. If you turn to the back page of your bulletin, we want to just walk our way through a number of these announcements, starting at the bottom with some dates to mark on your calendar. The next one on the calendar is December 4th, and that's a Thursday, and that's an open house at our house, and we recognize that no date is in December is open for a lot of people. But if you can just explain to your boss why you will not be at the office party because you're coming to our house, that's fine. But we'll talk a little bit more about it next week. But we trust you'll have that date. And then the Saturday after that, December 6th, for a cookie exchange for the ladies. And we trust that you'll be able to participate in both of these activities as part of the Christmas season. Then an announcement regarding the 5th and 6th grade class. That's a class that Roger Collins teaches. And the young adult Sunday school class, that's the class that Steve teaches. And we just ask all the parents to make sure that their kids get in the right room. So if your kids are in Steve's class, make sure that they know that they're changing their room. And if your kids are in Roger's class, make sure they're in the right room. This is an arrangement, a need, because Steve's class is a little bit too large for the room he's in, so we're trying to see if we can get him a larger room for that for his class. So if you're in either Steve's class or Roger's class, make sure that you read this announcement, and next Sunday you'll be in a different classroom. Before we get to what's going to happen today, let me just add one other announcement. Some of you know or knew Mary Stewart, elderly lady that came for a number of weeks, number of months, really, I guess, with Wayne and Sue. And there will be a funeral for her on Wednesday morning, this coming Wednesday, the 26th, at 11 a.m. at the Baxton Payette Funeral Home. Just be a short service, but the family asked us to announce it in case any of you knew her well enough that you would want to be at the funeral. It'll be at 11 o'clock at Baxton Payette Funeral Home. It's the one going north on 71 Business. And that'll be this Wednesday. Tonight, very important. In the inside of your bulletin, it says 7 o'clock. It's really the back side of your bulletin, 6 o'clock tonight. At 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be having our giving of thanks service. And this is a very important service. I think it is critical for Christians to be people who give thanks. We'll talk a little bit about that in the message, but the format is the service is yours. Put a microphone at the head of each aisle, and we just take time and give you time to come forward and to just, before the congregation, but to the Lord, thank him for specific things that he has done. Now, we don't ask for the whole year, but there are some things that he has done in your life, some things that you have come through, and some things that he has given and whatever. And that's the service. And we take as much time as we need to allow you the opportunity to share with us your thankfulness specifically to the Lord. So think about it. Come prepared to do that. And that's our service. And then after the time, whenever, we have a fellowship time back in the hall, and it's just good to get together and share again how good God is. And we ask to bring some finger foods for that. Plan on being here at 6 o'clock this evening, if you will, 6 o'clock, and join us for the giving of thanks service. After the service this morning, there'll be our regular fourth Sunday fellowship dinner. And we trust that you remembered that and that you can stay with us for that time as well after this service. And then I'll be talking about Lee Gustafson a little bit later, and she'll be having part of our morning service. We're just glad to have her with us, and I will talk about her later. So to start our service, perhaps one of the more meaningful Thanksgiving songs that we have. And the ladies will be the flutes. The ladies on the flutes will be opening our service by playing "Great Is Thy Faithfulness."
Great
Thank you, ladies. That's really an appropriate song to play before we have Lee Gustafson come and speak to us. A lot of you don't know her. You have seen her picture on the board, and you've heard her prayed for on Wednesday night, and she's been part of our mission family for longer than Bernie and I have been here. But just an example of how faithful God is. She and her husband, Bob, served for many years with New Tribes in the Philippines and then got a little broader mission. And then after Bob's passing, then she's been living in the area of Minneapolis in Moundsview, Minnesota, still serving with New Tribes in any way that she can. And just a marvelous woman. And we just are thrilled to have her with us today. And so we are going to have her come, and she can introduce herself to most of you or a lot of you who don't know her. And I would just encourage you at the fellowship dinner to take some time and say hi to her. You do want to get to meet her. Very, very special woman, and God certainly has been faithful to her and through her. And so, Lee, come and just share for a while with us, please.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Lee. And I don't want to talk about myself this morning as of myself, but I just want to share with you what the Lord can do through people if they just say yes. And that certainly is what we did, because when we said yes, we were very new Christians, only for 1 year. And it was quite a road for us and a wonderful life. I do want to give praise to God for everything. I fear to sound like I'm talking about something we did, and we didn't do it. We often look back on our life like it was watching a movie that we were in, but it was none of us. It was all of the Lord. I didn't write down notes because when I tried, there's so much to say that I thought, just trust the Lord to give me the thoughts that will be edifying to you, and that's what I'm going to do. So as Pastor said, I want you to know me. I'm so grateful and thankful for the support I've had from all you people. And that's one way that you can know to pray for me, because I still do need prayer, of course. Bob and I, both of us, were born in 1929. And we went to high school together, and that's where we met. And we both had been raised in homes where they took us to Sunday school and to church. And I'm very grateful today for anything they did teach us from the Word of God. But they just taught us so many things to do so that we could please God. We were 25 years old when we realized we were sinners and we needed a Savior in spite of all our church work. And I went and took a course in Romans, and Bob got up early and studied his Bible before he went to work. And the Lord graciously showed us that we were sinners, we needed a Savior, and gave us the faith to believe that Jesus Christ had taken care of our sin and we had eternal life in Him. 1 year later, we wanted to go to the Indians in northern Minnesota and reach them for the Lord. But the Lord had all these things planned out for us, and we could see it later. We went to a meeting where New Tribes was there in abundance, pilots, church planters, a lot of people. And we got to know them and talking to them, and the Lord really planted the seed in our heart that there were people who had never heard the gospel. They had never even had the chance we had to be taught wrongly. They just hadn't been taught, and that just took over our lives. And we went into New Tribes when we were only new Christians. So we took all the training, and then Bob stayed to teach for a while because he just absorbed the scriptures, and that teaching was good experience before we could go on. Well, we did go to the field in 1960. We had been saved for 5 years then, and we had five children by then, which we didn't intend having that many children. And so it's hard traveling and everything with the kids, but Bob did his share, and we did fine. We arrived in the Philippines without very much support. We didn't know Christians. We went into training so soon after we were saved, and the only big name we knew was Billy Graham because he was from Minneapolis. But we just were trusting the Lord and meeting people through the time. And everyone we met, we told them what we were going to do. And the Lord just took care of things. We got to the Philippines, and we were in Manila for about 12 days. And the pilot came in to get us in a jeep and took us out to the foothills of the mountains. And we knew where we were going. We were going into a headhunting tribe where the gospel had never been preached. Even the government had not been into this tribe. We had a Filipino missionary that had served in the cleanup crew of the Navy, U.S. Navy, after the war. And he had become a believer through missionaries, and he paved the way for us in a way. He and the pilot and my husband kind of worked their way into the mountains and getting to meet people, and then would have someone from one village take them to the next village. And that's the way. The only reason they could do that was because after the war, or during the war, the Japanese went into this area and were cruel to the people. When the Americans went in after them, they were very good to them. They paid them for caring for them and shared their food. So they weren't afraid of the white person coming in. And yet, we knew we had to watch our P's and Q's when we were in there. They had killed an anthropologist that tried to go in there at one time. And Bob said, well, would you kill us? And they said, we'll see. But the Lord enabled Bob to learn language very quickly. And so when he and the pilot went in and made an airstrip and prepared for us as a family to come in, well, he could really speak to them. And I mean, within weeks, Bob could start saying things to them. And by the time I could move in, well, he could deal with people, you know. And medicine, of course, was a big thing for them. We had to be a little careful. They didn't think it was magic because that's what they wanted to think. But we built our grass hut. We just used bamboo sticks and stones and things. And they never used any nails even in their houses. They didn't know how to help us, but we did have nails and things to put things together. We had bamboo floors. And the house was 20 by 20, and there were seven of us because we had the five children. And then we would have Filipino missionaries in training that would come in. So we built kind of, our house was way up on stilts. So we built him a place under it and eventually a place for Bob to do his language work. And the people would always say, well, why do you have to study so much? Because you already know English. But our chore at first was to learn the language and the culture. You can't learn the language without the culture and still give them the gospel in an understanding way. And, of course, we taught chronologically. It wasn't written yet, but we did know that we couldn't talk to them about Jesus before they knew who God was. And so we spent our first year. They just wanted to know, is God going to come in an airplane like we did? And, you know, their understanding was just nil. They had evil spirits. They had even a devil they called Agimong. And so there were a lot of things there that you just worked through and were careful what words you gave them and what you taught them. But after about a year, when there were some who really were asking, well, how do we get saved? Well, they could see how God saved people, you know, through the Old Testament, where they needed a Savior and where they came to know they needed a Savior, and so they wanted to know, how do we get saved? So that's when they're ready for the gospel. They've got to know their responsibility to God. And so our first believers, you can imagine what a wonderful time it was for us. We had our difficulties, of course, with many things. We didn't go out of the mountains very much. I went out the first time at a Christmas time because the pilot thought I should go out and get some Christmas presents for the kids. And I got like one like cheese. I got them cheese, you know, different things they hadn't had. And when they finally went out after about a year and a half, they kept asking us why there were so many people. Why were there so many cars? Why is everybody brown? And we had mentioned traffic, and they'd say, well, what is traffic? And we'd show them what these things were. But those things were really fun and were a privilege, and certainly a privilege to be able to do that. Our children were well. We were well. None of us, the three younger boys got malaria at one point, but they never got it back again. And Bob and I never had malaria. So the Lord just just through the health he gave us, we knew that we could keep going and do many, many things. We did take a furlough after 4 years, and when we got back, we went further into the tribe to live, and a church then had been started through the Filipino missionary going further in before us, I can only say it was a wonderful life for the children, too. They'd go out in the morning and hardly come in all day. They learned to eat grasshoppers to catch little fish and fry them and eat them. And they've got good memories, too. We got supplies once a month, flour and sugar and rice and the different things that we needed. We traded the people for deer meat and wild pig. They wanted salt and kerosene were the basics, and then medicines, and it's survivable. And I hear people now so often talking about missionaries and the dangers and everything, and that we don't need to think about it. I truly mean that. When Bob was in leadership and we lived in Manila, martial law came, and he had to go before daybreak and crawl to the office. And we had to do a lot of things like that, but God enables you and he gives you the protection you need. My boys had to go to the school bus with guns pointed at them all the way. You went in the grocery store, you had guns pointed at you the whole time. I never have been a fearful person. In fact, I used to love to get scared, and so that helped me too. Now I don't like to get scared, I just get tired if I... No, it was a thrilling life. And there's just so many things I can talk about where you knew God was in it, because we wouldn't have come through it. Well, then in 1991, we settled in Minneapolis for a while. We have a son who's terminally ill, and the doctors told him at that time he just wouldn't live very long. He is still living. He doesn't have quality health at all. But, you wonder, all those years the Lord kept us from even getting sick and then come home and this happened. But the Lord has his reasons. I don't understand it. And he doesn't either, but he hangs on to the Lord every day, and we have wonderful times together in the Word. And then, of course, Bob passing. We had only been settled in Minneapolis and kind of settled. We planned to go out, but to have a place to call home. And then the Lord took Bob home suddenly. And another thing we don't understand, we had a letter in the mail that morning from a pastor at John Piper's church, and he said, "Bob, we're so glad the Lord sent you to the Twin Cities. We really need you here." Because Bob was getting real inward into the schools and the churches to challenge for tribal work, for one thing, but then to challenge people to prepare if the Lord should call them. All they need to do is say yes, and he had the rest all planned out for them. And so I read that letter before I went off for the day, and said they really needed him there. And that was the first thought that came when I got to the hospital and he had already died. Was, "Lord, how come they think they need him and you didn't think they did?" But, those are wonderful things to live with, too, is just the wonder. I think it was Tozer said one time, if we could understand all of God's ways, we wouldn't be in awe of God. And I am in awe of God. I'm just in awe of him, of what he's done with our lives. And what is he doing with me now? Well, I've gotten lazy, of course. I just don't drive where I have to drive at night. I go to many churches yet, but they're all within where I can get there in a day. I've never stayed in a motel by myself, and we didn't do much of that anyway, so it's too strange to me. So I'm restricted some in how far I'll drive. And I did go back. After Bob died, my mind just seemed kind of in a whirl, partly because it was so sudden. The other part was that my boys had them home, and they had all gotten so close again. And I think feeling sorry for them was what was really hard on my thinking. But they asked me when I was 66, when they asked me if I'd come over to the Philippines for 4 months. It was a sudden thing to take care of things down the island of Mindanao. And I thought, yeah, I can do that. And that was such a help to me. Before that, I thought of everything twice. What would Bob think? What would Bob think? And it was tiring to me. And when I came back, I had stopped doing that. I just felt like I also am a missionary. The Lord also can lead me. And I started getting involved a lot with young people, high schoolers, college age, because I want them to not spoil things in their lives. I want them to live their lives so that if the God does call them, they don't have any, I tell them, garbage in the background that's going to stop them from being able to go. And couples, too, that all you got to do is let go of the worldly things and be ready. If he says go, and just go, because it's all right, it's good. And so I do that a lot now. I also have one-on-one with older people. I just think, especially if they don't want to go to church, they often will let you come to their home and teach. And so I try to get a lot of that into. And so I guess the younger people and the older people are my ministry now. And I should have driven down here long ago, but I'm getting a little flack from my kids about driving off by myself. But I can do it. I found out I enjoyed the trip down from Camdenton. I guess unless you have some questions, I'm not going to go into all the details of all the things we did. Bob did start after the chronological lessons were written. We went to Australia twice to convince this Trev McElwain to get this all into writing and to lessons and things. And then Bob felt we needed a consultant program in the mission for new missionaries and all the way through. So we started out with no authority, but just to go in and spend a couple weeks on a base and look at their work, see what they had done, check their culture files. If they were translating, just go through things with them. And they really appreciated it. I saw missionary men cry just that someone would come in and stay a while and look at the things they had done. And so we traveled to Colombia, Venezuela, different countries there, and then spent about 6 months in Thailand, 6 months in Papua New Guinea, and then Indonesia and the Philippines. So for about 10 years, Bob used to say, well, Lee lives out of a suitcase, but I buy her a new whisk broom every once in a while to clean it out. And those were good years. So Bob lived only 63 years, but he lived more than that because he gave 24 hours a day if he could. And, of course, he couldn't always. But the Lord really blessed him with being able to assimilate to things, to be with people. He just was a great help to a lot of people. So I feel like he lived a full, full good life. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I had the time with him. I did. So I just pray that anything I've said brings glory to the Lord, brings encouragement to your hearts, and that you'll really realize there are so many people yet that have never, ever heard of Jesus. And that they don't think maybe he'll come in an airplane when they do here, but someone will stay there with them, live with them, and take the time to help them to understand. So. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Lee. What a wonderful testimony. I'd like to read from just a few verses from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. If you'll take your hymnals and stand, we want to start today with number 584. It is good to sing. Number 584. Dear Lord, we thank you just for everything that you've done for us, for your Son who you sent to be the sacrifice for our sins, and for the way that you continue to work in our lives. We are grateful and thankful. We pray that you would use this service to teach us the proper way to respond for all that you've done for us. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll turn back to number 555, I want to sing We're Marching to Zion, number 555. 557. Sorry. In thanksgiving, let us praise him. Seated. Ron's going to come and read our scripture for the day. It's from the book of Joshua, in the 24th chapter.
We'll be reading Joshua 24, 1 through 15. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to what I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptian pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, that ye might possess their land. and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwelt in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted, do ye not eat? Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for the testimony from Ms. Gustafson this morning. Testimony of you having watched over them and protect them down through the years. And we have this testimony in Scripture that reminds the Israelites of how you have delivered them from all of their enemies. And Lord, as we look into your word this morning, help us to understand how you have already defeated our enemies, and we need but call upon your name to find this same deliverance. May the cry of our hearts today be, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Take your hymnals again and turn to number 560. We want to sing For the Beauty of the Earth. And if you'll notice, each verse is what we're thankful for. And then the refrain, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. If you'll stand, and we'll sing together number 560.
Thank you.
Thank you. You may be seated.
We'll dismiss the children at this time, the children's church. Ask that you please turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's have a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you that we can sing of your faithfulness and your love toward us, shown by how you deal with us. We confess, Lord, today that you have dealt with us not according to our sins, but in your grace and your mercy you have just showered us with blessings. You have given us life, physical life, and it is good. You have given us spiritual life through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that is good. Father, everything you do is good. And today we would just tune our hearts literally to sing your praises. I pray that you would speak to us today, that aside from anything else, we might be known as people of praise to you for your goodness to us. So as we look at a number of passages, Father, I just pray that you would teach us, you would show us ourselves in it, and show us you. Show us how you have dealt with us, that we may give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to distinguish ourselves from the rest of the world today. We want to become very exclusive. We want to make ourselves different than unbelievers. And we want to do it on the subject of thanksgiving. We live in a country that has a heritage of the fourth Thursday of November, call it Thanksgiving Day. I guess we still call it that, even though it becomes Turkey Day, NFL Day, followed by Black Friday, when the stores hope to make a lot of money, And yet somehow there's this idea of thankfulness in general, and you hear a lot of that. We don't want to be thankful in general today. We want to think clearly of what God has done for us and be thankful in specificness. We want to be able to say, I thank you, Lord, for whatever. And our goal this morning, and then followed up by our service tonight, is to try to cultivate that attitude. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Now that's not just God sitting on His throne in heaven, and He's good, but it doesn't mean anything. It's He is good because of how He has dealt with me, how He has dealt with you. In our hymnal, and you can look at it later, number 11 is a very familiar song. The writer says, how can I give thanks for the things you have done for me? Or how can I say thanks for the things that you have done for me? And it's a real simple answer, right? You just say, I thank you. It's not as profound as some people would make it. You can say, I thank you. But that gets confused when we sing it, because often we relate that song or other songs like it to what's happening to us. And the question becomes expanded a little bit. How can I say thanks when this, whatever it is, when this is happening to me? That's where most of us live. I do, and I'll just include some of you at least. Not how can I say thanks for the things you have done for me, but how can I say thanks when this particular thing is happening? And so today I just want to go through a number of familiar passages to get you to think perhaps clearly the reasons, if you will, for giving thanks when this is happening to you. Whatever situation you find yourself in, you can give thanks. And we want to start by looking at just ourselves before we get into Scripture. And we are Christians. Most of us, I trust you all are. God has made it such that we can be His people. God has given us life, and not just life here, but eternal life. And maybe I ought to say it the other way. Not just eternal life, but God has given us our life here. We are people who at least theologically admit that everything, no exceptions, is by God's grace. We need to be reminded constantly of that question that Paul asks in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What do you have that you did not receive? See? We in America get too impressed with these hands. I'm a hard-working man. I have pulled myself up. I have done this. You know, the commercial used to be, you know, we make money the old-fashioned way. I earn it, see. We get overly impressed with our hands and what we do, and we need to answer that question every day. What do you have that you didn't receive? See, that's Christians. We admit, at least theologically, that all is by God's grace. See? And with that as a background, we know it ought to be natural for us to give thanks. I mean, this ought to just be the outflow. And we ought to rise up early. You ought to rise up early. And you ought to all sing my song. My song, as some of you know, my Bromine Tower song from South Arkansas. Awake my soul to joyful lays and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from me. And as you go to the fellowship dinner, you'll see it on a mirror, engraved in the mirror on the wall in the hallway. He justly claims a song from me. And we know that's true. He deserves our songs. He deserves our thanks. And we don't argue with that. We know what we ought to be and we know what we ought to do. But that's hard, isn't it? For some of you at least, sometimes for all of us. That's really, really hard. Some of us hurt. Some of us hurt physically. You get reports from doctors, and he just confirms what you know is going on inside because you hurt. Something's wrong. We're not all physically well. And some of you, sometimes we all hurt emotionally or psychologically or whatever word you like. We just hurt. And sometimes we fear. There's a lot of fear based on the economy. What will happen? I'm losing everything, or possibility of losing everything. And we fear. And we fear the future. Some of us are nearer the future than the rest of you, but we fear old age maybe. What will happen to me in old age? Regardless of the economy. We had the kids over last night, and little grandkids are going to take care of me. Don't worry, Grandpa. We'll take care of you. We fear old age. You know, I mean, but that's real. Some people really fear old age. And we struggle. Sometimes we get up and say, man, this is going to be a bad day. And when we go to bed at night, we say, that was a bad day. I mean, it was just a struggle, it seems. Sometimes just a struggle to survive whatever. And in that kind of, you know, that happens to all of us, giving a thanks just seems out of place. And if I were to say, thank you, Lord, I'd be a hypocrite, maybe, or I feel I would be a hypocrite because it's just something that's just not overflowing. Thank you, Lord. And we struggle with what God is doing and what God has done. And so we want to just kind of help us develop a thought pattern. What do you do when it hurts and things are so hard that you honestly don't feel like, I thank you, Lord? We'll start with Psalm 103. Good song, good psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And the question when you read that is, have I forgotten His benefits? Have I forgotten His benefits? The things that are to my profit. The things that are for my good. His benefits to me. Starts out with just a few. Pardons all my iniquities. And I'm going to just use my instead of your. But you can read my in there as well. Who pardons all my iniquities. And that word for pardon is the word for forgives, and it's the word for taking away. It's not just the way we say, well, I forgive you, but it's still in our minds and all that sort of stuff. It's the word for taking away, and this iniquity has the idea of guilt. And my guilt before Him, He took away. And before God, what guilt do I carry? What guilt do you carry, see, as a Christian? And the answer is, we don't carry any guilt before God. That's at least something He did, right? And then He heals all my diseases. And my head is killing me, and I'm coughing and sneezing and don't feel good. And I read this, and I think, He will. If not today, tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, the next day. It will happen. I will not spend eternity sick. See? Now I realize Matthew chapter 8 quotes a verse like this in Isaiah 53. He Himself bore all our sins, our diseases. And we look for healing now. But that may not come. Interesting verse in Isaiah 33. And you can read it. Isaiah 33:24, talking about heaven, and it says, no one, while talking about Israel's future in the land, but he says, no one there will be sick, their sins will be forgiven. See? He pardons all my iniquities, He heals all my diseases. I'll not be sick because my sins have been forgiven, and that whole curse of sin that's on me and in this body is gone, will be gone ultimately, you see. I can look forward to that and say, well, that's not too bad, right? That's a benefit to know that that's coming. And He redeems my life from the pit. That's the word for destruction. Sometimes it's talking about the grave and death and hell. And I think of the verse where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And I stand before you and say, friends, I'm not going to die. See? Now you may come to my funeral, but I'm not going to die. See? That's not bad. He has done some good things, hasn't He? And he crowns me with loving kindness and compassionate. When was the last time He was bad to me, to you? He crowns me. He puts it on my head. His compassion and His loving kindness that has to do with His gentleness and His mercy and His faithfulness. See? You have to think. When was the last time he didn't do that? See? You look at this head, see? And his head is crowned with God's loving kindness and compassion. And he satisfies my ears or my mouth, depending on the text, with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagle. See? You didn't know. You didn't know, did you? I'm like an eagle up here, right? Now, this eagle might walk a little bit slower and might not get too far off the ground, but he renews me. He does. 68 years soaring like an eagle. You know that? Wouldn't that be neat? See, that's what it says. You read this and you can put yourself in these five things at least. These are God's benefits to believers. See? And the picture is really clear. He has done some good things, hasn't he? See? He has done some good things. I measure my life in two periods. BB and AB, right? Not AD and, you know, BB before burn and after burn. See? But you think of it that way, he's done some good things, hasn't he? See? He has done some good things. See? And I say to myself, John, don't ever forget those benefits. Iniquities, diseases, life from the pit, loving kindness, compassion, youth is renewed like the eagle, satisfies your years, satisfies you. Don't ever forget his benefits. See? And then just rotating through another passage, just to remind us, maybe a different way of looking at the same thing. This is my whole life here in Psalm 103, by the way. Your whole life. But another passage maybe that would mean something. Psalm 139, your life. We'll go through a number of verses. You don't have to turn to them all. But at the beginning, did you ever think about you at the beginning? I mean, the real beginning, not your birth date, but the real beginning. See? Your eyes, verse 16, have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Do you understand what that verse means about him dealing with me? See? From the beginning. He is not some come lately person into your life. You know, I invited God into my life at such and such a point, see? He knew me from way back there in the real beginning, see? I'm not an accident. I'm a special creation. He knew me. See? And then Ephesians chapter 2, and you don't need to turn there, but verse 4 and 5. See? Special recreation. See, he knew me when he formed me. He recreated me. When I was dead in trespasses and sins, he made me alive in Christ, see. And then at the end, see, and without going into a lot of detail, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at verse 13, whether I'm dead or alive, do you know what my end is? See, that he started way back there. My end is to be forever with him. Beginning to end, see, I am his. See? And so whatever this is happening, it doesn't matter to that framework, see. I am His from before whenever to the end whenever, see. And my thanks to Him is for life from there to there, see, because He gave it to me. Turn to the book of Lamentations, which is the book where a lot of people seem to live all the time. Just imagine whatever in your life is the absolute worst thing that could possibly happen. The loss of something, physical condition, no future. I mean, you think of it the worst possible thing. Jeremiah, the prophet, had gone through the worst possible thing that anybody could go through, at least in his mind. He had seen the destruction of Jerusalem. He had seen the burning of the temple. He had seen just a few thousand people left, marched off to captivity, and he's sitting in the middle of this smoking ash heap. See, everything is gone. He had nothing left. And he writes, verse 31, "The Lord will not reject forever. For if He causes grief, then He will have compassion according to His abundant loving kindness." See, and if you can forget His benefits in Psalm 103, and if you can forget that He gave you life, at least you can sit in this pile of rubble that is whatever you're going through now, and you can say, well, if He did this, then He will have loving kindness and compassion on me. He will not forget. See, He will not reject me. Verse 57. Let me start reading at verse 54. I mean, this is real. This is life. "Waters flowed over my head. I said, I am cut off. I called on Your name, O Lord, out of the lowest pit. You have heard my voice. Do not hide Your ear from my prayer for relief, from my cry for help." Verse 57, "You drew near when I called on You. You said, do not fear." See? You said, do not fear. I relate that to the disciples in the middle of the Sea of Galilee trying to paddle their boat across in a storm, and they see this figure walking on the water, and they thought it was a ghost, and He said what? "Don't fear, it is I." See? Don't fear His... So forget His benefits, they're not so good anyhow, right? Forget the life He gave you, it's just a bunch of problems, but never, see, never forget that He says, "Don't fear, it is I." See? He never, never rejects. He never, ever leaves. See? So somewhere in there, you can fit yourself and say, you know, I really ought to be somebody who gives thanks to God. Joshua chapter 24. This is your exercise program. If you have trouble giving thanks. If you can't go through Psalm 103 or another psalm. If you can't say Psalm 139 and Ephesians 2 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and my life from beginning to end is God's. And you can't go to Lamentations 3 and say, hey, He'll not reject me forever. He says, when I call, He says, I'm here. Do not fear. See, and if you can't do any of that, then at least turn to Joshua chapter 24. And just read it like Ron read it for us. And I'm just going to go through this, and I've done this before, but let me just pick out a few key words. Starting at verse 3. This is the Lord speaking, by the way. I took. Verse 4. I gave. Verse 5. I sent. I plagued. I brought you out. Verse 7. They saw what I did in Egypt. And verse 8. I brought you into. I gave them into your hand. I destroyed them before you. Verse 10. I was not willing to listen to him. I delivered you from his hand. Verse 11. I gave them into your hand. Verse 12. I sent. Verse 13. I gave you a land. Did you catch the word? See, we didn't do this thing together. You didn't do your part and I did mine. See, I, says the Lord. And you're in the land because the Lord gave it to you. See? And so when you get to where you can't give thanks, just read these verses. See? And when you get done to the end of these verses, and as God says, whatever your situation, you put your own details in. See? Whatever the details of your life are, just put them in, but keep the pronoun there. I gave you this. I did this. I did this. I wasn't willing to do this. I didn't deliver you here. I delivered you. I brought you into the land. See? And then after you've done through, gone through that, go to verse 15 and ask yourself the question. You probably need to be in front of a mirror to do this and say, hey, now listen, John. Be honest with this. And if you can find, this is what verse 15 says, if you can find a God who will treat you better, serve him. Go. That's what Joshua said to the people. If you can find a better God, go. If you can't give thanks to me for what I did and for the land that you're living in, then find another God. See? Find another God because you're missing something. You ought to be able to thank your God. See? Now, I suspect if I haven't done that in a long time, although I went through that exercise once. And it was a long, hard struggle, just because I'm really thick-headed, you know. It takes a long time for some things to sink in. But you look, that God is no good. Where's a good one? See? And you look. See? To whom can I thank for this? To whom can I whom can I thank for this? See? And if you can find another one, Joshua says on behalf of God, if you can find another one to be thankful for today, then do it. You're free. You're free. See? That's an amazing chapter, isn't it? See? We say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we use it for all sorts of things, but it's really, who's going to be your God? See? Who's going to be your God? It's the God whom you think treats you well. It's the God whom you think gave you all this. It's the God whom you think did all these things. And if you can find a better one, he says, you're free. And to the people's credit, by the time you get down to verse 16, far be it from us that we would do that. far be it from us that we would do that. We look at this, and we look at this, and we look at this, and we look at this. We think of his benefits. We think of our life. We think of the happenings. We sit there in the midst of the rubble and say, he says to me, do not fear, it is I. Far be it from me, far be it from me, that I pick a different God, because this one's not worth thanking. See? So thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, is not based solely on what God has done and what situation you find yourself in, but it's based, the bottom line is, who is your God? See? Who is your God? And so when you go into this Thanksgiving period and you come tonight and Thursday when you gather with your family and you have trouble saying, I thank God for whatever. And you say, why? Why? To whom will I give thanks? Say. Whose benefits will I remember? To whom will I credit life, and I live in this land, who gave it to me? See? And so I would just encourage you, take the Joshua 24 challenge. And if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, you will read through this and you will say, far be it from me to pick another God, because this God, the God of my salvation, see, this God is the one to whom I will give thanks today. So two questions. Is he your God? See? Is he good? That determines your thankfulness, who your God is, and is he good? Let's pray. Father, I can only pray for myself. I can confess before this crowd that you are my God and you are good. And to you, I will give thanks. My very life, from the beginning to the end, and the land in which I dwell, and the benefits that I receive, for these I will give you thanks. And I would just pray that you would give this heart and this spirit to each one here who knows you, that we would confess that you are our God and that you are good. And we thank you. Give us that spirit, we pray in your name. Amen. I like songs like For the Beauty of the Earth because they are very specific. And you read that list that we sang, and it puts specific things to, in thanksgiving, let us praise him. But the bottom line, as I was thinking of this message and this song, we need to sing, perhaps, to set us on the path of thankfulness, is number 490, I am his, and he is mine. We'll stand, please, and sing just the first and the last verse, 1 and 4. Of number 490. And this is the confession that we make, that this is the God whom we have, and it is forever. First and last verse of 490, and then Steve, would you come please and close in prayer.